anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. And we are getting closer and closer to the all-important draft day. The New York Jets sit at number 6 in what will be an imperative draft for them this year. As we have now kind of, it's come into terms and we've all, you know, finally had it sink in that, you know, the signings and the offseason the Jets have had so far, definitely an A-plus in terms of a Jets fan perspective, as now we get ready for the second part of the offseason, which is the NFL draft. The Jets right now, you know, everybody, all the talk and all the eyes are on Marcus Mariota. I mean, that is the big ticket quarterback that everybody is talking about. You know, it's pretty much a guarantee that Jameis Winston goes number one to the Bucs, although they did request, I believe, their meeting with Marcus Mariota. So that might bring some speculation up. But, you know, when it comes to the Jets, everybody's talking about right now is if Marcus Mariota is there at 6, are they going to take him? Are you going to trade up and try and get him? I mean, that's the big talk right now. But outside of Marcus Mariota, there are so many players in this draft that could, you know, completely change the dynamic of the New York Jets with drafting 6 overall. I mean, there are so many playmakers out there, so many pass rushers, offensive linemen, wide receivers. A stud is out there for the Jets at 6. It's just a matter of which direction they decide to go. And with that being said, my man Joe, how are you?
I am good. It's slowed down a little bit this week. We're going to talk about it a little bit, the two middle linebackers that we signed, one today and one, I believe, it was like 5 or 6 days ago, which is good for the depth because we didn't, you know, have anybody behind David Harrison and DeMar Davis. We'll get into that a little bit later. It's definitely into draft time. I believe we're what 23 days away. So this is when you start, you know, all the smoke screens. You have guys like Dante Fowler, who just about everybody knows I want the Jets to get, is saying that he can basically almost guarantee that he's going to go to the Jaguars at number 3. But then also then you have to think about, you know, Brandon Cooks the last couple of weeks before the draft last year. You're saying that if he's there at 18, the Jets would definitely pick him, and that didn't happen, obviously. So there's so many smoke screens and things going on right now. You really don't know if the Titans are going to take Mariota, if they're comfortable with Mettenberger. You know, so we can look at some situations tonight. I know we're going to look at a mock draft or two and see what we think. I think the interesting question, Brandon, really is going to be, you know, what if the top guys are gone? What if, obviously, Leonard Williams is, in my opinion, probably the best guy in the draft, but the Jets really just, that's the one position I know we talked about, you know, best player available. But when you take a, they can't take a D tackle, D end in the
no
first round.
No way. I mean, there's no chance of that happening.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
here's the thing. I don't think, building off your point about the Titans, I don't see how they don't go Marcus Mariota, to be honest with you. I mean, I noticed a lot of mock drafts. Like, I look at Brian Baldinger's mock draft, Bucky Brooks, Lance Zerlin, and Charles Davis, all from NFL Network. I mean, you take it for what it's worth. I mean, these guys are just guessing. I mean, there's no true way that you can sit here and predict the correct draft. I don't think it's ever been done before. So,
no way.
But I look at the Tennessee Titans, and you got to think to yourself, are you comfortable with Mettenberger? No, you're not. He's not the quarterback of the future. You're sitting there at 2. I mean, if for some way that Jameis Winston go number 1, if something happens, he rubs somebody the wrong way, and he, you know, there's still 23 days. He could do something stupid in an hour, okay? So there's definitely something that could happen between now and the draft. If for some reason that Jameis Winston doesn't go number 1 and they decide to go in a different direction and maybe go with a Dante Fowler or even a Leonard Williams, then who knows if the Tennessee Titans are picking a quarterback. I don't see how they don't here because they made the additions and signing two linebackers in the offseason. That just makes you believe that are you going to go out, you're going to sign two linebackers and draft another one? What is that doing for the rest of the needs on your football team? I mean, the direction that they've
And the reason why we're talking about this is because this affects the Jets tremendously. Because if Marcus Mariota goes number two, okay, then you have guys like Dante Fowler, Leonard Williams, you know, Shane Ray still on the board. So you don't really know what's going to happen. But you know, my gut feeling tells me the Titans are going to pick, you know, a quarterback at number two.
Yeah, no, see, I was going to ask you, you know, if obviously Jameis goes number one, you have Marcus Mariota go two, and then for some odd reason, the Jaguars, which could very much happen, Dante Fowler, you know, in the beginning of the year, he was mid to late, you know, first-round draft pick, at least projected, and now he seems like he's going to go three or four. So if he's gone at three, you have Amari Cooper go at four, and then let's say five, the Redskins take Vic Beasley, who's really shot off the draft boards, and the Jets have to choose between, you know, Kevin White, one of the offensive linemen, who I really don't think the offensive linemen, any of them in the draft, are worth the sixth pick. I know Brandon Scherff is probably going to be a all-pro guard, but I don't think he's worth the sixth pick. So
here's what I think, Joe. Sorry to interrupt you, but here's what I think. I think that the Raiders, Kevin White is the all-time classic Oakland Raiders draft pick. I mean, this is like, it's a classic Raiders draft pick. Kevin White, West Virginia, speed guy. You draft him for speed. You know, you're looking for a guy that can make, you know, be dynamic on your offense. Everybody seems to think that Kevin White is going to the Raiders. I mean, I'm looking at these four mock drafts here. All four of them have Kevin White across the board. The only other team that has the same guy across the board is Jameis Winston at number one with Tampa. Everybody else is different. So I think that Kevin White is going to the Raiders at four. I really believe that if Amari Cooper is there at six for the Jets, I'm taking this guy, man. I mean, if you saw the impact that Odell Beckham made on the Giants last year, and you look at these wide receivers, I know you just got Brandon Marshall. I know you just traded for Brandon Marshall. I know you just signed Eric Decker last year. I'm looking at Amari Cooper and saying, long-term solution. Is Brandon Marshall a long-term solution for this team? Probably not. He's probably going to be here for two or three seasons, have an impact, and then be on his way. Is Eric Decker a long-term solution? I think so. I think Eric Decker will be here long-term. And then I look at Amari Cooper and say, you know, this guy could really, you know, completely change the offense for the Jets, because he's such a dynamic playmaker that you say to yourself, okay, where do we need the help right now? The help is needed on the offense. You just added Revis and Cromartie. You re-signed David Harris. You have Demario Davis. You have Wilkerson. You have Sheldon Richardson. At some point in time, you have to use your first-round pick on an offensive player. I know that it's so cliche, and I know that, you know, you like to look at it from, well, if one of these outside linebackers and best available players are there, go ahead and take them.
Oh,
at some point in time, you have to throw some first-round picks on your offense. That's what they have to do. And I look at Amari Cooper and say, I don't care you just traded for Brandon Marshall. Bring that stud in here, and let's build up a wide receiving core that's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, yeah, no, so you basically answered my question. I think I basically have the same opinion as you. I think the guys I would take over Cooper would be Beasley, because I think his ceiling is ridiculously high. Obviously, the Jets.
But don't you think that he's NFL ready too, like Joe? Amari Cooper is, you know, some of these guys where they're coming out of, it's you're a little on the fence about because when you're coming out of the SEC and you're coming out of Alabama, and the way this guy plays, he's NFL ready. He's ready to step onto the field and become an impact player immediately.
Yeah, in terms of NFL ready, I think it's him. I think Jameis Winston is NFL ready. Obviously, he's a quarterback, and things can go wrong very quickly for a quarterback, especially, you know, with his personality. But I think it's Leonard Williams. I think it's Cooper. I think it's Fowler, and I think it's him. But I'm saying if Fowler or Beasley is there, I would take them over Cooper. And you obviously answered my question. I don't know why people have Kevin White over Cooper. It seems like people think that Kevin the thing about it is everybody's saying, you know, he's the athletic freak and all this stuff, and Cooper's the more defined route guy and all this. But 2013 for Alabama,
He was known as a physical freak who can run really fast and he can go up and get any ball. So I don't understand a guy who's a physical freak and runs 10 times more route than Kevin White did at West Virginia. I don't know why you have a guy like Kevin White above him. But, you know, if I think if Ray and if Fowler are gone, not Ray, Beasley and Fowler are gone, I would definitely want Cooper at six. But if a guy like Kevin White is there, you know, do you take a risk on Gregory who – you know, he reminds me of an Alden Smith, but at the same time, he could be a Deion Jordan, who the Dolphins traded up for, and he's a complete bust so far. And then he also, you know, gets caught smoking pot when they basically tell you, hey, listen, you're gonna get drug tested on this day. It's not like it's a surprise, and he still can't stop smoking pot. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if I want to take a risk on that guy at six. He can end up like Josh Gordon, who's a freak athlete and has all his talent, but it's never on the field because he can't put down the blunt. So, you know, it's I don't think I want to take a risk. I don't want to take a risk on Gregory. Shane Ray, him in the run game and his short arms kind of scare me. I know he has a really good ability as a pass rusher, but he relies on speed a lot. And when a bigger guy gets on Shane Ray, he really gets locked down. So he scares
me. Let
me
tell you something.
When I'm looking at
Randy Gregory, and I look at this slip up and I see this, I get it and I understand what you're saying. But if the Jets can capitalize on getting a top two or three talent at six of his stupid mistake, if Randy Gregory is added to the Jets, their defense is complete. They're complete.
Oh, yeah.
The defense is done. It's complete. I mean, if you look at a guy like Randy Gregory, he might be the best player in this draft. He really might be. All around, he might be the best player. And guess what? He made a mistake. It happens. We've seen a lot of players make mistakes like this, and it's hurt their draft stock. We've seen a lot of great players mistakes like this. Yep, we've seen a lot. I mean, like, exactly, Dez Bryant. We've seen a lot of players make mistakes like this, and guess what? If you can capitalize and get that guy at six, I don't care. Then I'll take the offensive mindset and throw it out the window, because guess what? This guy makes your defense complete. He says, done, 100%. You're finished. You don't need another piece. Your defense is the best in the league if you add a guy like Randy Gregory. I mean, then you look at every side, every position.
Yeah.
Where is the weakness?
Yeah, no, literally there's nothing. You have Dickerson and Bowen on the line. You just got a guy in Aaron Henderson as a linebacker who, in 2013, I know he had it was three DUIs, and he I believe got caught with some marijuana on him. But you know, you look at a guy who had 112 tackles in 2013, four sacks, three interceptions. He started, I believe it was only 12 games as our third middle linebacker, and then you add a guy. What's his name from the Packers, Jamari Lattimore, who started five games for them, and actually against us in week two, he had eight tackles. So you had two guys like that. When compared to last year, our backup middle linebackers were AJ Edwards and Nick Bolor. I like Nick Bolor. He's a good player, but we definitely upgraded there. You look at safety. We all know the starters. They have Antonio Allen, and you have Jaquan Jarrett, and even Rontez Miles back there. We all know about the corner situation, which I actually want to get to in a little bit. But there's really no weakness. And you talk about Gregory as maybe the best person or the best, you know, edge rusher in this draft. And this is what exactly, Brennan, that in December and January, when everybody's freaking out over mock drafts, we don't say, you know, we'd say don't take it with a grain of salt. You take it with a grain of salt, because Randy Gregory at the top, at first, before the combine, was the no doubt about it. He was going to be the first edge rusher, and now he might be the fourth or even fifth taken. Maybe if a guy like Bud Dupree is taken at you know, the fourth edge rusher. But I do agree with you. You know, he's definitely a freak, and he has all the talent in the world. And you talk about, you know, Dez Bryant and all these guys. Even look at Randy Moss in his career. He might be a top five receiver ever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, on the flip side, you can look at Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon. So it's a big risk. But I do agree with you with the Cooper thing. I think if it's Cooper and Gregory or Beasley and Fowler and all these guys are gone that I mentioned,
no,
if it's Cooper or Gregory, I'll take them, because I believe – I forgot the stat, Brandon, but I think we were sixth in the league last year in sacks. And it was our most since like 1998 or 88 or something like that, which is absolutely ridiculous. You had an edge rusher, and with these corners making the quarterbacks throw the ball, this defense
definitely
has the potential to be number one. And the thing with Cooper too, Brandon, is, you know, everybody says, you know, why draft Cooper? And at first I kind of thought it too, but you really look at it and you sort of think about it. Eric Decker can move from the slot. Brandon Marshall, I believe it was last year or even the last 2 years, he played 49% of his snaps in the slot too. So, and obviously we know Cooper can play in the slots. So you have three interchangeable guys. You have, and he has speed, obviously, Cooper, and then you have Curley. So you can move these guys all around the field. And like you said, Brandon Marshall has $7.5 million guaranteed, so he can be cut after this year or in the next year. But if you have Cooper and Brandon Marshall and Decker, yeah, it might be overkill, but if you're getting the best player and Cooper's going to be here for the next 10 years and he turns into a talent like Reggie Wayne or one of these guys, then why not
He could be the next – he could be, you know, our generation's Keyshawn Johnson is what Amari Cooper could be. I mean, that's – I mean, the guy is a freak wide receiver. But let me ask you a question. So – I'm looking at mock drafts, right? I mean, again, you know, these mock drafts, they don't hold a lot of weight, but that's all that we have to go on, right? So I have seen mock drafts with Marcus Mariota as high as 2 and as low as 20. Do you think that this could turn in to a Geno Smith 2.0 situation where this guy was rated and originally was, you know, because Geno Smith was talked about going number 1 at one point in his, you know, path to the draft, quote unquote. So do you think that Marcus Mariota, I mean, because let's look at it this way. They have him being passed up here after the Jets. You have the Bears who have too much money invested in quarterback, right? You have the Falcons who have Matt Ryan. You have the Giants who have Eli Manning. You have the Rams who have Nick Foles. You have the Vikings who have Teddy Bridgewater. You have the Browns who have nobody. But they can't draft another quarterback. So there's no way they could draft another quarterback. They have to add to other positions besides drafting every quarterback and praying that one works out every year. Then you have the Saints who have Drew Brees. Then you have the Dolphins, who have Ryan Tannehill. Then you have the 49ers, who have Colin Kaepernick. Then you have the Texans, who have Ryan Mount, who they just re-upped. Then you have the Chargers, who have Phillip Rivers. Then you have the Chiefs, who have Alex Smith. Man, I'm really good at my starting quarterbacks. Then you have the Browns, again, who have no one. And then you have...
And then all the top 10 teams have a quarterback because they're in the playoffs.
And then you have the birdies. The Philadelphia Eagles sit at 20, and that's where Brian Baldinger has Marcus Mariota going to. But if for some reason that Chip Kelly decides that everything worked out his way, and he's sitting at 20 and Marcus Mariota's not on the board, I don't see a team picking a quarterback after that.
Well, I could see the Rams taking him because of Nick Foles, and you're not too sure about Nick Foles. I can see maybe the Saints doing it because
– Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If you're sitting, this might be one of the most talented, you know, first rounds in terms of talent in the draft. You know, there are so many good players out there this year. There really are every year. And Marcus Mariota, everybody seems to deem him a quote unquote a big project. That's what he is. You know, everybody.
He needs to sit.
Do I believe that? I don't believe that. I don't think that Marcus Mariota is a big project. I think that he is a product of being in a draft where he's not the all-around number one guy. You know, Jameis Winston is the stud quarterback. Jameis Winston is the quarterback of this draft class, and Marcus Mariota has fell dramatically below Jameis Winston. When we came in to this draft, you know, at the end of the year, Marcus Mariota was the guy. You know, Jameis Winston was Marcus Mariota 1, Jameis Winston 2. Jameis Winston has blown him away in terms of draft stock. It's not even close. So do you think that there's any possibility that Marcus Mariota falls into the first round?
Yeah, well, you know, do I think it's necessarily going to happen? No, I really doubt that it would. But could it happen? It definitely could happen. You look at Geno Smith, like you said, who was a surefire first round or first top 10 pick, a little bit before the combine 2 years ago or 3 years ago now. It definitely could happen, but I do see a team maybe like the Saints drafting him and letting Drew Brees go in a couple of years. I really don't think he'll fall out, especially with the Browns going twice.
Even with all the needs that they have now?
Oh, yeah, but I believe it was today or yesterday that they said a good percent of the front office doesn't believe in Johnny Manziel. So obviously you don't know if that's true or, you know, smoke screens, all the stuff that's going up now. You really don't know. But I can see them taking, because what are you going to depend on? Johnny Manziel, who might just go back to rehab or just leave the NFL altogether, And then you have Josh McCown. So I can see them drafting a quarterback just because, you know, in the last 20 years since you've been growing up, Brandon, the Browns have been probably, along with the Raiders, the worst franchises in the entire NFL. So I could see them just wasting another pick on a quarterback. You know, it's very interesting. I think he's a project, but he needs to sit for a year. I think if he comes in the NFL and has to start right away and doesn't get to watch, you know, game in front of him, doesn't get to learn behind a veteran, then I think he's really has a low percentage chance of being successful. I just do not like the offense that he came out of, and I think of a guy, like we mentioned, like a Cooper or like a Gregory or even like hope to God, you know, that Fowler or a guy like Beasley falls to us. If we take a guy like Marcus Mariota over one of those guys when they could, you know, make an impact right away on this defense or on this offense.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, we're in a New York market, Brandon, where, you know, as soon as Geno throws his first pick or two, that people are going to be chanting for Mariota. It's going to be pressured to a new GM, and I hope he doesn't respond to it. And he seems like he won't respond to it. But, you know, they're going to get pressured to put him in. Woody Johnson folds to pressure and media hype, and he's come out, you know, in public and said that he looks at some media. So he probably looks at Twitter, and he obviously knew about the fire John Isaac guys and all this. So,
right.
He'll be pressured to start, and I just don't want the whole situation to go down. I think Geno's he still has potential. He makes the throws. You see him going to the offense. He has all the weapons. I think you give Geno another year. If you need to draft a guy like Connor Cook next year, I don't care if you have to trade up your entire draft to do it. If you know that a guy like Connor Cook is going to fix your program and he's going to be a good quarterback, then you go up and trade for a guy like that. But I just don't think with the guys that we mentioned, the Coopers and all of that, that you have to take a shot on Mariota to make him sit for a couple of years. So, you know how I feel about it. I'm falling out of, you know, I don't like the Cooper pick at six. I'd rather get one of these guys that we've talked about in the last, you know, 20 minutes.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here on Jet Nation Radio. Remember, the call line is open, 646-716-4697. When we come back, we're going to talk about Muhammad Wilkerson being absent at the OTAs. We'll also talk about the Jets signings, the moves that they've been making. We'll touch on that along with the quarterback situation. We'll dive more into the draft. Is Mariota the answer for the Jets if he's there at six, or is Geno Smith still going to be given a shot to lead this football team? Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media.
Media.
From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. Okay, Joe, so Muhammad Wilkerson, the first step in what could be a potential holdout, it seems like, skipping the OTAs, obviously the big contract extension in the works coming into the final year of his deal. So here's the perspective on Muhammad Wilkerson that I'm looking at here. You know, if you're Muhammad Wilkerson, and I look at it from a Jets fan point of view, and you look at the grand scheme of things, I honestly cannot blame him unless he is asking for ludicrous amounts of money, because he's looking at this like saying, look, we came into this offseason, you're dishing out big money everywhere. You're dishing out big money to re-sign a guy like David Harris. You're dishing out ridiculous money for Darrell Revis. You're dishing out big money for Buster Screen. You're dishing out big money for Antonio Cromartie. He's probably sitting there to himself saying, where is my payday? I've been here. I haven't gone anywhere. I've been loyal to your franchise. I haven't done anything since. I've played out my contract. He's been way beyond expectations. Now he wants to get paid. And he knows that, you know, based off, you know, what could happen, an injury, anything like that, that coming in on a one-year deal in the NFL is very, very risky. So I honestly don't blame him, because you look at the situation where the Jets are in money-wise, and all we talked about was how much money they have to spend, and especially with the David Harris deal. When you look at Muhammad Wilkerson's situation, I think the Jets have to get this done sooner than later.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You look at Robert Quinn money, I believe he's around $14 million a year. You look at, obviously, J.J. Watt's money, which I don't think he's going to get close to, but you're looking at around, you know, $11 to $12 million a year for Wilkerson. And like you said, you know, you have Revis, who's getting $39 million guaranteed. You have Cromartie, who didn't get a lot of guaranteed money, but he's still got $32 million over 4 years. You know, you look at Buster Screen, you look at all these guys, and he's sitting there, and he's like, where's my money? Because I believe it was, what was it? It was the first press conference, and McCagney, you know, addresses and says that we need to get Wilkerson signed, basically. And he's looking at all these guys getting paid, and he wants his payday. You know, do I think it would be a different situation if we didn't sign all these free agents and dish out all this big money? Yes, I do. But at the same time, you know, the Jets had $12 million, I believe, before we signed Aaron Henderson. And then, so we have about $11 million left. You're looking at about $6 million for rookies, and that's about $5 million to take Wilkerson's right. contract from $6 million a year to $12 million a year. So the Jets really don't have any room right now to sign anybody else. I think Henderson was probably the last move, unless you're cutting a guy like Cumberland, who I could see happening. I could see them cutting a guy like a Babin and having a guy like IK or Trevor Riley playing more of a big role, because I really do think that IK is going to, you know, burst out of the scene this year. I've seen some things from him on tape that he actually has some good burst. But, you know, we don't have any money left. We need to get it done eventually. The guy has been the example of a great Jet, and he deserves his payday. So I'm hoping it happens sooner than later. But honestly, I think that it's going to, you know, take place after the draft, because obviously the other day was the first day of voluntary camp. But the first day of a real camp where it's mandatory and where he would actually start losing money is June 9th. So we have some time to hit on a contract with him. I hope it gets done sooner than later, like you said, though, because obviously you have voluntary mini camp, you know, at the end of April. You have OTAs in mid May and things like that. So you obviously want him to get a chemistry with his new team and guys like Vickerson and Bowen and obviously Todd Bowles. So I hope it happens. But, you know, another interesting thing that happened, you know, obviously, what was it, 2 days ago that you have guys coming out and getting interviewed for the first time since last season. And you have a guy who, this isn't a huge topic, Brandon, but it kind of is to me, because you know how I feel about Pryor and how he was used at strong safety. He comes out and basically says that he's going to be playing strong safety the entire year, that it's music to his ears and that he can go back to doing what he used to do. And then he kind of took a shot at the coaching staff last year, and he was saying that he was put in some positions that he wasn't in college and that he's not, normally supposed to be in. So I'm happy that they basically locked it down, that Pryor will be at strong safety, Gilchrist will be at free safety. And then you also see a guy like Jason Morrow, who at first was tweeting about how excited he is with the coaching staff. And from everything I've heard about the players and all the interviews, is that they're really excited about a guy like Todd Bowles. And then you hear a guy like Jason Morrow basically take a shot at the old coaching staff too. And he said the Jets have had issues with lateness and weren't accountable as they could be. So it's just more things that I've hit on before with the discipline with Rex. And then Fireman Ed said it last week that he didn't think that the discipline.
Here, let's talk about this. Let's talk about how stupid Sheldon Richardson sounds in his little interview that he had. I believe it was yesterday. I mean, look, I am all for having confidence, and I'm all for, having that swagger level and, being confident in your team, especially when you go out and sign some big guys. But let's not come out and let's not talk about being the top team in the league when you're coming off a 4-12 season. I mean, look, you just got rid of a coach who is going to put a target on your back with the way that he speaks about other teams and speaks so highly of his team and talks about going in, beating everybody and being the best team in the league and being a bunch of bullies. Let's try and tone down the best team and top team in the league talk, and let's try and get to an 8-8 season. I mean, I think that Sheldon Richardson made some really idiotic comments coming out like that, putting his team on the spot, saying, well, he went from the D. If you want to talk about being a top defense, I'm all for it, because I think this can be a top defense. I think this could be the best defense in football. I think that the pieces that they've added with this defensive line and the linebacking group that they have now, if you add a pass rush in the draft, I think the defense is finally complete. But let's not move towards talking about being the top team coming off of a 4-12 season. All it does is it makes people roll their eyes and look at you and say, oh, I thought they got rid of Rex Ryan, so maybe Sheldon Richardson wants to take the place of using his big mouth. I think that it's bad publicity for the Jets. It's bad publicity for Sheldon Richardson. It was a stupid thing to say. Let's focus on the draft. Let's focus on next season. Let's talk about getting to 500 before we be a top team in the league. Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, with the top team in the league, I definitely agree, and I also agree that if they said they could be the top defense in the league, that would be fine, because obviously, me and you are both talking about it right now, that they could be, and if they add a guy like Fowler in the first round, I'm not going to guarantee it, but I think it's a really good shot that they had an outside linebacker, that they could really, really, really have a very good shot to be the top defense in the league. But to say, that we are the top team, or we're going to go to the Super Bowl and all this stuff,
you're out of your mind.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous to say that on the first day that they can be interviewed. So I appreciate him, and I appreciate how hard he works. And even you see it in the Vikings game on that last screenplay to beat us in overtime, which is ridiculous. But you see him running down the field after the receiver. So I definitely like Sheldon. And honestly, I really don't know where I stand on this. I haven't really thought about it. But some people actually think that Sheldon Richardson is better and is going to be better than Wilkerson, which is very close, actually. They're actually
very
comparable players.
Listen, I'm not knocking Sheldon Richardson. I think that he is going to be one of the best Jets and going to be on this team for a very long time, and he's going to be a superstar. He already is a superstar. But there comes a point in time where – the Jets are trying to, even though, we see it and we don't really buy too much into it because, you go out and trade for a guy like Brandon Marshall, but the Jets are trying to change their image, and they're trying to change the publicity that they get, and they're trying to move away from all talk, no action, and be kind of one of those teams that's going to sneak under the radar with a coach that's going to come out and not really going to have too much personality with the media. I mean, they wanted to do a 180 from Rex Ryan. That was one of the things that they talked about, and one of the things that they knew going into this, they wanted to move away from being that team. For being the team that comes in every week that says, that everybody talks about, every team in the locker room says, all these guys do is run their mouth. And look, I loved the confidence, and I still do. I love the confidence that Rex Ryan brought to this team. But there comes a point in time where if you're trying to reshape your image and you're trying to be more of a, close-knit, loose football team that's not going to do all talk, no action, you don't need to be making comments like that in the middle of April. It's not going to get you anywhere, especially coming off of a 4-12 season. I get it. You're excited. you know, Nick Mangold said it. There's a, you know, there's this air that, you know, around the Jets right now that everybody's happy. They're confident. They've added these guys back. They've Revis and Cromartie. They're coming back. You had Gilchrist. You had Screen. You're going to have a, you know, your sixth pick in the draft. There's a lot of good things happening with this franchise right now. Does that mean they're going to be, you know, in deep into the playoffs next year? Probably not. But coming out and talking about being the best team in the league already in the middle of April is ludicrous. I love the confidence, but that's something you can talk about to your teammates sitting in practice holding your helmets after a good practice saying, man, we could really be the best team in the league. Keep that stuff quiet, because otherwise you're going to get that persona of the same old Jets.
Yeah, you know, I think Todd Bowles is going to reel some of those players in a little bit, especially Sheldon Richardson. I think he's obviously one of the stars on the team, but I think he's going to try to get him to, you know, hold back on some of those comments. Obviously, a guy like Calvin Pryor is probably eventually going to get, you know, in trouble for some of the things he says on Twitter. If you look at his Twitter page, he says some ridiculous things and making fun of guys and saying, you know, oh, I was in bed with your mom last night and things like that. And while it's funny to read, and sometimes it's like, oh, this guy got owned, like, thank God the guy's
but here's the thing, nobody cares what Calvin Pryor has to say. Calvin Pryor has to say. He hasn't built up a reputation in the NFL. If you go and you probably ask 20 of the, you know, an average NFL fan, they probably don't even know who Calvin Pryor is. Sheldon Richardson, in the 2 years that he's been here, has already built a name for himself as one of the best defensive players in the NFL. I believe that. You know, you've seen the guy play. It's unbelievable. So, and him coming out and saying stuff like that, that's making headlines. That's making headlines, and that's something that the Jets need to get away from. And one thing I wanted to move on now was Geno Smith. I was reading on something online the other day about how, I guess, a certain portion of Geno Smith's salary, he gets like a $200,000-something bonus, which in the NFL terms, you know, obviously is like giving somebody a $10 bill to go get a sandwich. But outside of that, you know, he's due that to show up for the, I believe it was the OTAs. And, you know, Geno Smith now, he's in that part of the year, and I think has been a very good offseason for him. And the reason I say that is because he has really been flying under the radar. Last offseason, you know, he was coming off of that rookie year. They finished 8-8, and everybody had confidence in him. Everybody had confidence in Geno Smith, you know, not to be a great player, but to be better than he was in his rookie year. They thought, you know, he had a good preseason. He moved into the first game. You get the W. People thought that Geno Smith could be an average quarterback. And then, obviously, he tanked last season. So now he comes into an offseason where not one person has confidence in Geno Smith. Nobody. The only person who probably believes that Geno Smith is going to be a good NFL quarterback is Geno Smith. So he's coming into an offseason where there really, you know, you say that there is, and we think that there is. There's no pressure on this guy. And the reason why I say that is because nobody is expecting him to do well. Nobody is expecting him to go out there and be great next season. Nobody is expecting him to go out there and take the bull by the horns. Everybody thinks that Geno Smith is a goner in terms of being the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. They believe that they're going to put him in a competition with Fitzpatrick. He might start next year, and he might plummet, and he might be gone after next year. He now is flying under the radar because the confidence in him is nothing. So he can go out, he can do his own thing this offseason, he can have the, you know, I love, you know, these players like to feed off, you know, the mindset that they can't do it, and he could come out and, you know, if you add an Amari Cooper, and you have Amari Cooper, you know, Eric Decker, Brandon Marshall, Jeremy Curley, Jason Morrow, Chris Ivory, I mean, you're looking at a talented offense, and he could really, you know, progress into, he doesn't have to be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. He's not even going to be 50% of those guys. But he could still be something that could lead the Jets to victories and put them in a good place next year, because I don't think that there's any pressure on him, because I don't think anybody believes that he can actually do it.
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely a lot less pressure than there was, you know, his first year coming out. Obviously, your first year quarterback, you're starting. Sanchez got injured in the Snoopy Bowl, which is another thing.
Even last year, we sat here week one and we said, we think Geno Smith is going to be, you know, a good quarterback this year. We thought that he made steps in the offseason. We thought that, you know, with Marty Mortimer, everybody was high on Geno Smith somewhat going into week one of this past season. Nobody is even near that for this season. So the expectation, there's no, when you have no expectation set for you as an NFL player, especially a quarterback, it must take some pressure off him because he knows he's getting paid and he's going to be on the field next year. So one or the other is not going to work out for him eventually. I think that it's going to help him.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's definitely a lot less pressure. Like I said, there's obviously a little bit of pressure because he's in New York. Jets fans on JetNation.com are, you know, arguing John Connor or Bo Hannon. So there's obviously some kind of pressure. And from what I've seen, I liked it too. But like when you think about, you know, what Fireman Ed said the other week with his showing up to late, a meeting late before the Chargers game, obviously that's a problem. But you saw that he trained with Tom House, who is a coach for Tom Brady, which is obviously, you know, a good thing. But the guy also coached Tim Tebow, which obviously didn't work out, you know, too well. But then you have him not leaving Marshall's hip. You have him always in pictures with Marshall, talking about Marshall. So maybe he's learning a little bit from Marshall. And obviously, I think it's important that he
as long as they don't go on a blind date together. But go ahead, keep going.
But yeah, as long as they have to build some kind of chemistry, because you know Marshall has a history of, you know, he's bipolar and he gets very mad when he doesn't get targeted enough or these things. So I think it's important for him to build a chemistry with him. But there's definitely a lower expectation for him. I think if he comes out and actually does solid, we'll all be very surprised, even with the weapons he has, because it's like we said, it's not about the throws he can make. You know, he can make all the throws, he can run, he can move in the pocket. It's just the mental part of the game where it's, you know, should I take a sack here? Should I throw this out of bounds? Should I force this into double coverage? You know, he makes the wrong decisions, you know, a good amount of the time. So I think he has potential. And I think, like I said a couple of weeks ago, he has like a 10% chance, but I really don't want to put percentages on it. I think that, you know, going into Gailey's offense with the spread, it's obviously, you know, a good transition for him. Obviously he has to learn some new terminology and things like that.
I mean, let me ask you a question. Point blank question. There's no, you're not allowed to give me any insight.
I hate this. Okay, go ahead.
You have that
every once in a while, and every time I hate it.
Okay, week 7, right?
Okay.
It's week 7. You're sitting at 4-3. You're teetering right on the, you know, you're there, you're not there, you don't know, you know, you have to string a couple wins together. Let's just say, you know, it's the Jets of, you know, the heart rate monitor, win one, lose one, right?
Yep, 2013.
Who gives you the best chance to win in week 7 of this year? Marcus Mariota or Geno Smith?
You want me to give you no reason behind it?
No, I just want an answer.
Geno Smith.
Now you can give me a reason. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, obviously they both come out of the
spread. Go ahead.
No, obviously they both come out of the spread. Marcus Mariota, you know, he can make the throws, but he does have a little bit of accuracy problems. He can't make a huge throw like Geno can. Geno's obviously been in the league for 3 years, and that's very obvious.
Right,
I don't have to see that.
I'm going to stop you again. Week 7. Ryan Fitzpatrick or Marcus Mariota?
Garrett Grayson.
No, it's not. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to change the question. This is Family Feud, okay? You're allowed to. It's the triple money round, okay? Who gives you the best chance to win, Marcus Mariota or Ryan Fitzpatrick? Week 7 of this year.
Honestly, probably Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, you're down. You're down on the. When I asked you this question, I don't know if you remember, but I don't forget anything. When I asked you this question about maybe I would say 2 or 3 months ago. I asked you point blank, Geno Smith or Marcus Mariota, week 7, who gives you the best chance to win? I think I actually said week 8. You told me Marcus Mariota. What has changed in your mind?
But then I watched film, Brandon. No, you know,
coming
into the draft.
Watching film.
No, I'm serious. But with the first round grades, I don't watch film on everybody, but when I'm bored and I'm not doing anything, and I'm at work and I'm sitting at the desk doing absolutely nothing, you know, because I'm a security guard and sometimes I don't do much. You know, I can sit there and watch some film, and you break it down. He when he's pressured and he played big schools, when he played, you know, Ohio State, some of the decisions he made, and you can see how he just gets very nervous and he gets antsy in the pocket. I don't want him. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, you know, we've been talking about the quarterback so much, Brandon. So some things I obviously want to jump into. The offensive line. Go ahead. We have about, 16 minutes left. The offensive line, we don't have to talk a lot about it. There's so much depth there. Obviously, we signed Ben Ajulana back. We have guys like Brewer. We have guys like Hilliard. We have guys like Cologne. So I think, you know, I don't want to talk specifically about the offensive line. Obviously, there's competition there, and you talk about the middle linebacker and all those positions. I want to get to the quarterback before we sign off. But, you know, just talking about the linebacker and offensive line and what they've done, we've seen in the past couple of years that when Jets have a little bit of room to move around and they have cap flexibility, we sign guys like Hayden Smith and some of these guys who are projects and might work out, but I really like what they're doing now when you sign an offensive lineman. So maybe you can draft a wide receiver. If you see a wide receiver like a Lockett or a Dorsett in the third, and you really want to take him, then you take him. Or, you know, now we have linebackers, and before we got these two guys, I thought that we had to take a linebacker in the first four rounds. But now, like I said, if you see a quarterback like a Penny in the third or a Manning in the fourth or a Grayson in the fourth, you can take them. So I think what they're doing right now, which is really smart, is they're adding guys on veteran minimum deals or, you know, to $700,000 to $900,000. They're adding pieces, so they have a lot of cap draft flexibility. So I'm really hoping in the draft, you know, if we see a guy like a Coates or a Devin Smith in the second, we're like, oh, well, now we necessarily don't have to take a running back here, because you look at Ivory and Powell, and everybody says we need another running back. But in 2013, we were sixth in rushing with Ivory, Powell, and what was it, Alex Green. So we have a lot of flexibility. No, I'm talking about 2013.
Oh, gotcha. 2013. Well, I think it's the general consensus is that the Jets are guaranteed to take a running back in the draft. I mean, way the GM's talking about, which I think is a great thing. You know, I don't think you can ever have the way Chris Ivey runs, especially. I don't think you can ever have enough depth at the running back position. So I look at this draft. You know, running backs are not going to be, at a premium, obviously. So if you can grab, you know, I heard a lot of the talk about Mr. Duke out of, Miami, you know, one of the running backs the Jets were targeting. So, I mean, if you can grab one of those guys, maybe in the second or third round, you add a running back like that, I mean, you're really solidifying a lot of positions on this team.
Oh, yeah, no, like I said, I think it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we didn't really look. I just named off the Jets' needs really quick, and obviously you said quarterback, but offensive line is obviously one. You have middle linebackers is set now. So, you know, you look at running back, and I actually love this draft for running back. I think there's a lot of good running backs. Like you said, a Duke Johnson, maybe you get a Abdullah in the second. You can get a Jay Ajayi, you can get a Telvin Coleman, or, you know, if you see a lineman you really like there, you see a top lineman who falls, maybe you take a Sammy Coates or a Devin Smith receiver. So there's so much room to do so many things, because the running back class is really deep. I like a guy like Jeremy Langford, who can come out in the third round from Michigan State. He's really able to do everything. Obviously, you know, TJ Yeldon from Alabama, I think he's going to go probably in the third or fourth round. So we have so much flexibility. I just really want them to take best player available. But in the first four rounds, I would really, really enjoy if they can get an outside linebacker in the first, if they can get a running back in the second, and then a receiver in the fourth, and probably a quarterback in the third. But they have a lot of room to move around. They can trade up. They can trade down. Obviously, I hope they don't trade up too much, because they have, six picks. I believe we have 2 7th-rounders, because the 1 7th rounder for Ryan Fitzpatrick is obviously conditional. So you have to see what happens after the season. So we have 2 7th-rounders, and we have the flexibility where if you see, you know, a safety in the seventh that you like, a guy like Hackett from TCU, you see him, you take him. If you see a lineman, you see a Beckwith that you like, you take him. So I love this draft. Obviously, last year we had 12 picks, but we had so many holes that you know, you just need. They just tried to fill positions. You see the receiver, they tried to fill it with a guy like Jalen Saunders and Shaq Evans, and with McKagan's scouting background, I'm just really, really excited for this draft, and I like the flexibility we have. With, you know, we don't have many needs, so you just take the best player available. You take guys who you think are going to be here for a while, and not just try to fill the needs, since we obviously don't have very many. But like I said, I do really like the running back class this year, Brandon. But, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, so we didn't dive too much into the cornerbacks. But when you look at the cornerback position, obviously, other than Rebus and Cromartie and Scrawn, you know, what do you see?
Is my 24 jersey came in the mail today. I never bought a Rebus jersey when he was here before. I'm not a big believer in buying current players' jersey because every time I buy the jersey, they get traded or cut. I am a firm believer that this guy is going to end his career at the Jet. I was so excited. I went online and I bought that jersey. It's in the mail. I am pumped up for the cornerback situation, man. I think that this season, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if you look at a guy like Dee Milliner and he is playing well. I mean, the NFL used to be the no trade league. That's what everybody joked about. Like no teams ever made these trades, you know, like guys like Brandon Marshall getting traded, Nick Foles and Sam Bradford traded like that, Jimmy Graham, you know, these guys, this stuff never happened in the NFL. It never did. Until recently, until the last couple of years. Here's what I think. I think if Dee Milliner shows up, is healthy, and, you know, through the course of the year plays well, and shows that he can, you know, produce, I look at the Jets potentially packaging him for either another player or some picks. I think that they're not going to keep Dee Milliner on this team with the additions of these cornerbacks. I don't think that they're going to trade him right away. I think because of the, you know, what he's being paid and he's on a rookie contract and he's still so young that they're not going to move on from him right now. You know, could I see them potentially using him as a package for something? Whatever, you know, who knows? They might be so high on Marcus Mariota, Joe, and we have no idea, that they might want to trade up and go get him. You know, that might be one of the cases. We have no idea. They might be sitting in the wings. They might be calling the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to try and get up to number one to take Jameis Winston. You don't
know. Oh, my God.
We have no idea. You don't know what Mike McCagnan's thinking right now. He could be sitting in his office putting together a trade to move up to number one and say, bada-boom, we got our guy. You never know. So I look at Dee Milliner as being, you know, one of those guys that, you know, he was relied on last year. He obviously got hurt. He's injury-prone. If he can show up and be healthy and play, you know, show that he can, you know, move around and produce on the football field, they might just trade him and get some value back for him, because A, you don't know if he's going to stay healthy long-term. He's the type of guy that could play well for three games and go blow out his hammy and be done for the year the next week. So, I mean, he's almost like, you never know what you're going to get in terms of his health. I look at McDougal. I mean, this is a guy, what are our expectations for him? He came in last year, he played, one game, and he was out, and he was done. So what are your expectations for a Dexter McDougal corner when you have Rebus, Cromartie, and Screen? Not very high. So he's another guy who can come in, and guess what? You're playing in front of potentially the best cornerback to ever play the game. That's what Darrell Rebus might go down as. So you're going to get some insight, and you're going to be able to practice and be around this guy every single day. It will make these guys better. So Dexter McDougal could have some upside. I mean, he could definitely, you know, fill a role and play into, you know, that fourth corner spot. And especially, you know, we saw how many injuries they had. You don't know, something could happen to one of the top guys, knock on wood. But other than just adding depth, Dee Milliner and Dexter McDougal are now backups on this team. And to think about where we were last year, where, you know, you and I were sitting here, me and you started this show because you were such a pain in my rear that you had to call in and annoy me about Brandon Flowers. And I said, you know what? If he annoys me that much and we can have that good of conversation, we got to bring this guy on Jet Nation Radio.
You know what?
It's true.
No, that is actually really funny, because the other day, you know, I was like, you know what? I wonder what I actually said and what he actually said back to me. I actually listened back to that. I think it was in like June or whatever it was. But it's actually really funny that you bring that up, because we were arguing. We weren't arguing. We were disagreeing, but we never really argued. But we actually had a very, you know, in-depth conversation about the cornerback situation. So that's actually really funny that you bring that up.
And now we're sitting here like this. And now we're sitting here like the Godfather, putting our legs up on our chairs, on our desk here, kicking our feet up and saying to ourselves, who's going to be starting this week in the corner? Because they've done a complete 180. And that's where I look at this team and I say to myself, I think that the Jets can get better and trade one of these guys. I mean, look, as crazy as it may sound, who knows? You package Deep Milner with a bunch of picks. You call up the New Orleans Saints and you say, "Hey, Mr. Saint, what about Drew Brees? Is he available for a package of picks and Deep Milner?" I mean, anything could happen. What we have learned from the NFL this year is that anything is possible. So I look at Deep Milner. I'm not saying that they're going to. It's a pipe dream. I'm making fantasies. We're on the radio.
Yeah.
It's always good to make up scenarios. But at the end of the day, I don't think that Deep Milner is going to be happy with the role that he's going to have here. And obviously, they don't have any confidence in him because they just sold the entire Florham Park town to Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie. So clearly, they said, okay, we need to bring our cornerbacks back here, and these guys are not going to be able to get it done for us. I mean, and we're not talking, you know, one-year deals. We're talking long-term.
You know, you look at Skrine, obviously, or not Skrine, Screen. I always mess that up. You look at Screen.
Everybody else, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, no. It's just when you look at the spelling, it really just looks like Screen, but it's really or Skrine, and it's really Screen, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Let's just call him. You know what? He's got a cool first name. Let's just go with Busta.
Yeah, you know, I like Buster. So I call him Buster.
No, you have to say it with the cool accent. You got to go, let's just call him Busta.
Okay, that will, you know, that's what you think is cool. I'm not sure if everybody else.
Come on! I'm not doing it.
But let me get into the
quarterback. Come on! You know, you have to do it.
Brilliant. Brandon, I promise you right now, we're not
If you say this on the radio right now, he'll have 7 interceptions this year. If you don't,
no.
He's not going to have one.
Okay,
if
no.
If you don't say it, he's not going to have 1 interception the whole year. If you do, he'll have 7. You're on the spot right now. 3, 2, 1. What's his name?
Busted. Okay, ready? He is basically a 2-year deal with his guaranteed money. You look at Cromartie, we can cut bait with him after a year because of his guaranteed money, which is only $7 million, like I said. Revis is obviously, you know, $39 million guaranteed in the first – it's basically all in the first 3 years, so you can cut him after 3 years. I really don't think that's going to happen. I think that will make him stick around with us for that $11 million per year in the last 2 years. But I'm more in the camp with Milner, that he needs to stay here. He obviously is going to learn behind a guy like Cromartie, but if Cromartie just completely either gets injured or he sucks this year, we have a guy like D. Milner running behind them. And the thing with D. Milner right now is you definitely can't trade him right now because we saw a very small sample size. We saw the preseason. He looked good. And then you saw the last 4 games of his rookie year were against the Panthers, the Browns, the Dolphins, and I forget the other team right now. I'm just not trying to think, too much in depth about it. But he had a good sample size right there, and he looked really good, but he has injury problems. So the most you're going to get for D. Milner is probably like a 5th-round draft pick, 4th-round draft pick.
I don't know, man. But again, I understand what you're saying, and I get it, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But in the grand scheme of things, can you trust D. Milner to be a good long-term fit for your organization?
No, that's why I think you wait and see this year. And to say he's not going to be used, Todd Bowles needs a lot of corners. The defenses he runs nickel almost 90% of the time.
Is D. Milner, who's used to his entire life, be the guy?
When you're a pick and you get injured all the time, then you don't have any expectations. If you had an expectation and you don't like it, then too bad. Then you won't play because the guys we have behind them can play too. But you look at D. Milner, I want him to learn.
Let's just hope that D. Milner doesn't listen to the show.
He's young. I think he could really play when he's healthy, and he showed us that in his last 4 games as a rookie and obviously in preseason, but we obviously need to see it more. You have a guy in Dexter McDougal who in college he looks like he can really lock somebody down. We're not too sure about him, but obviously he is a third-round draft pick, and hopefully he can show up. And then you look at guys at 6 and 7, you look at Darren Walls, who started, 12 games for us last year, who had 40 tackles, 2 interceptions, and 12 pass deflections as potentially our 7th, corner. And then you look at Marcus Williams, who, honestly, Marcus Williams, if he comes in the camp and Todd Bowles has no favorites, he doesn't think that D. Milner or Dex McDougal need to be in there because, they don't have any pressure. They didn't draft these guys. So you can look at a Marcus Williams who played 8 games for us, who was basically not locking down. But he was on number 1 corners. In 8 games, he had 36 tackles and 7 pass deflections, and he really looked good last year. So you can see a guy like him coming in instead of a D. Milner if he's injured or instead of a Dr. McDougal.
There's no doubt about it.
I'm just saying that you're going to see a lot of 4 corners because you're going to see a lot of dime.
So I'm really excited to see the corner situation. One thing that I wanted to say, I'm not sure if we brought it up, but I'm really happy about the Kellen Davis signing. Obviously, he's only had like 500 receiving yards his entire career as a tight end, but he brings a huge blocking tight end that we need because obviously we saw Cameron Wake blow by both Jay Samara and Jeff Cumberland. I'm really excited for this year, Brandon. Next three, you know, it's 9 o'clock now. The next 3 weeks is going to be a lot of draft talk. We're going to bring some draft guys on. We'll announce the names later, but we're really going to start diving deep into the draft. And after, you know, you see the Jets draft a guy in the first, whether it be Cooper or Fowler, you know, Amir Abdullah in the first, you know, it's going to be very exciting the next couple of weeks, Brandon.
Remember, all that talk and all that draft stuff, it never stops. The sports talk,
look at the transition.
The talk, it never stops. It's always on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding every single day with new users talking Jets football. You want to talk about the drafts. Are you taking a chance on Randy Gregor if he's there at 6 with his new issues with failing the drug test? Are you high on Marcus Mariota? You think the Jets trade up? You think they trade down? Who do they take at 6? Who do you want to see taken at 6? What do you think of all the moves that they made this offseason? Are you excited? Do you believe in Geno Smith? There are so many topics all on JetNation.com. And remember, Jet Nation Radio is proudly sponsored by Mile Social. Mile manages your social media so you can focus on running your business. Please visit milesocial.com for more information. Remember, the draft is upon us. Next couple weeks, like Joe said, we'll be doing lots of draft stuff. We'll keep talking about mock drafts. We'll keep talking about Marcus Mariota. We'll keep talking Jets football. Head on over to JetNation.com. Remember, forums exploding every single day. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Jet Nation Radio.